Hello, everybody, and welcome to Artist Corner. Today I'm joined by a special guest, Night Margin.
Hello, I'm Night Margin. I draw pictures
And
sometimes.
Night Margin also does a lot of music and writing too for games such as One Shot and their upcoming game called Margin of the Strange. Which you recently, re or not recently, I think it was a while back, you released the trailer
Yes.
for.
Yeah, I
That,
released the. Sorry, go
it, I was just
on.
gonna say, it looks really good.
Thank you. Yeah, we worked really hard on it. And then let's see, that was. Yeah, so I draw pictures. I also do music. Gosh, this is all this is awkward. I'm sorry.
No worries. Take your time.
So what do you want to know?
Well, how's life so
How's
far?
life? Busy working mostly. I got into Minecraft recently.
Yeah, we were
Not
just
all
talking about
Minecraft.
that a bit before the
Oh yes, this is
podcast.
the. I love the music in Minecraft very much.
Speaking of games,
Endeavor, sup?
what
Yes.
games did you play growing up, whether well-known or obscure?
None. Define growing up is 20s. Is my 20s considered part of growing up?
Well, I guess we're always growing up technically, but
Okay. I guess Neopets could count if when I was 12, right? Neopets had like a lot of Flash games, and then there's also the Flash games on DeviantArt. So I think to get a better idea of that, it's like basically artist. Any games made by artists. Like there was an artist that I used to follow on DeviantArt called Xavia, and they used to make a lot of like visual novels and stuff in Flash. That's probably as close to as like an early game experience as I could remember. I was like, what,
Nice.
14 years old? 14 years old at the time. And I was like, wow, this was all made in Flash. It's blowing my mind.
It's kind of sad that I think Flash got take not taken down, but something happened with Flash, right?
Yeah, so it's like basically, the web architecture is gone now.
Oh.
It's like the because you know f before the internet had like better whatchamacallit bandwidth, speed, quality. Like before, we had things like long form and short form video and like HD. Like Flash is like a way of getting videos in some because there it's all vectors, right? It's not raster, so they can get high-ish quality looking videos, consider as long as they use their built-in tools for it. But because of security concerns, because it's such an old medium, they eventually had to discontinue it, which means that like all the Flash animations are no longer viewable, and it's very sad.
No,
I mean,
you
people
can't.
have been, yeah, like there's been like emulators and stuff,
Yeah.
so like, but you know, that's. It's more of a niche than a mainstream thing now.
Can you even look at it with Internet Ar or not Internet Archive, with Wayback Machine?
I think you need like to some kind of. I think Wayback Machine may have its built-in Flash emulator. Don't quote me on that though. But yeah, just like the good old days, right?
Yeah. It's interesting to learn about because growing up, I didn't really. I mean, I definitely played Flash games, but I didn't think about it that much, you know?
Right. Excuse me if this is a personal question, but like,
Yeah.
I want to gauge what age of internet you grew up on.
So
So,
I'm
how
19.
you're 19? Oh,
So,
jeez.
yeah.
Okay, wow.
And
Okay,
no
that's
worries, by the way.
okay. Okay, I was about to say, then though, what a lot of what I'm saying to you might sound like alien language.
A little bit, but I'm trying my
Yeah,
best.
it's like, because 19.
I
Wow.
don't even know what a vector is, so when you said that word, that just flew over my head.
19. I mean, vectors are still in use nowadays, the vector graphics.
Yeah.
Say 19, that was 19 years ago. So you were born in 2005. Wow.
Sure.
I think I joined Neopets in 2005. Oh,
Nice.
Neopets is actually it had a resurgence recently, apparently, which is interesting to see. It's not the Excite is not Flash based anymore, though. I don't imagine it to be.
Wait, I'm gonna look up Neopets because it doesn't look that familiar to me. I definitely heard the name growing up, but I never played it.
It's like what's the other game that people keep referencing? Club Penguin, similar to that, I think.
It looks kind of similar. Looks interesting,
But yeah,
though.
good old internet.
Yeah. Have you had any formal training in art?
Let me think. So when I was about like 9 years old, let's see, like not for like drawing and sketching, I don't think, but when I was 9 years old, my one of my dad's friends was a painter, so I took some painting classes from him. I got to paint some like still life with like fruit and vases and stuff. And then I think that was not very long though. I think it was only took like what, a handful of lessons, maybe no more than 10, I would say. It was mostly like traditional painting. And then other than that, art classes in school, you know, the standard ones. But most of what I know, like especially with digital art, is all self-taught. Just like back on DeviantArt, there used to be like lots of tutorials that I could follow. You know, before the advent of video tutorials, people just made their tutorials as like huge, these huge tall PNG images that you could upload to DeviantArt. I think it was called the Infinite Canvas format, because you know back when the internet was new, right? You could People were like, "Whoa, you can make canvases as long as you want." So the Infinite Canvas style is like was definitely very popular back on DeviantArt.
And I'm guessing you didn't have any formal training with music then either.
Nope. Well, wait. No, no, that's not true. I did have some piano lessons when I was a kid. And then I also took some like piano classes back in middle school. And I think like just the you know that's just the public school classes. But I think there was a like a family friend who taught piano that I went to her like I took lessons from her briefly. Just because I really liked her house. It was really pretty.
That's funny.
All right, and I think when I was like about 9 years old, like our na next door neighbor was a piano teacher. I was like, "Hey, I should take some lessons from her." So I did. So yeah, most of what my training is probably just like learning how to play the piano, but not for composing. For composing, that's like completely a hobby thing. I think I do remember getting my first urge to compose after buying like a piano collection CD from a store. And just like I love this music. I want to write music.
Do you
And I
remember
think
what
I
it
wrote,
was?
huh? It's called Piano Therapy by Richard Evans. I believe it's a 10-track piano album. But yeah, I was obsessed with that album when I was 12 years old. And I was like, I want to write music. So I think I wrote my first song when I was 12 after getting that CD for my birthday.
Would you recommend other people getting lessons for music or art?
Like for piano?
Yeah.
I know my husband, who's also a composer, he says that like learning to play an instrument is a good way of like, you know, getting your toes wet into composing. I think because like sometimes like when I write music and I get stuck, like digitally, I would just like, you know, break out the piano and be like, okay, time to figure this out. And
Yeah.
I think it would be sorry, I'm not making sense, but I think it's like it's good for like getting stuck because like you're not always locked into the grid as you are with virtual piano.
Yeah, I think I get it. I think I relate too because especially there's times when I practice with a metronome and it's definitely really good to practice with a metronome, but also I feel more locked in than when I play without it, and I feel a bit more free to change time signatures and stuff when I'm playing.
Yeah, like I feel like just working with a working with the piano row and like FL Studio, for example, you are kind of locked into the time signature just by looking at the grid.
Yeah.
So yeah, so I think putting it out on some kind of physical form does take away some of that restraint. So yeah.
Yeah.
As for art, I think it really just depends on the teacher, I would say. Because about last year, I took some like classes from like just some guy on Gumroad selling classes on the internet, and this is my first experience with on the more professional side of art training, and I really liked it. And according to people, his classes were a lot better than like what they offer at art school. So I think it just depends on the teacher mostly.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't trust anyone who just tells you to art is not about talent and it's just all practice. It's absolutely not true. Everyone has something they're good at, right? Like you can't just tell something to who someone to be like, oh, all you have to do to get better at math is to try better at math. I mean, yes, that's true, but also like everyone has something that they're good at. Okay, that was
It's really funny you say that because recently I've been thinking a lot about the word talent, and I don't know, sometimes it can annoy me, but other times I think.
It's you should not think of it so much as talent. You should think of it as what your brain is more geared towards. Like for example, like I have a friend who I always admired like her graphs on like forms and storyboarding and how fast she could sketch. And because I could not do that, I could not sketch very loosely even after taking some classes last year. It does not come very naturally for me. What does come na very naturally for me is color. Like I took no classes on color theory or anything like that. I just somehow always knew what colors to use, and normally I think I do what I set out to do. But my friend who's good at sketching says that it does not come easily for her. So I think like people's brains work different. Some people are just good at math. Like my husband's super good at math. He's like, yeah, I love math. It's fun. I was just like, you are, that sounds co like completely alien speak to me,
Me too.
right? Like people's brains are good at different things, and like art is just one of those things. And oh goodness, I kind of some I wish I would have prepared like more.
No
More
worries.
well-written things, but it's that saying, right? Like what's that saying? Let me Google it actually.
Also, yeah, we're just hanging out and chatting, so.
It says everybody is a genius, but if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing that it is stupid. And I think that applies to art. Like people normally use that quote for like school, getting all aces and everything, et cetera, et cetera. But art is the same thing. Like no matter how much you practice in school, like not everyone's gonna get a straight ace. And no matter how much you practice in art, not everyone's gonna get it. And I think that's okay because like people are just built different.
Yeah. That's really interesting because, yeah, it's funny how I've been thinking about that recently. And I think the way you explained it gave me a different perspective on it.
Oh, I'm glad to hear.
Yeah.
Like to ramble about this kind of stuff a lot. I think it's really interesting,
If you had to listen to one game soundtrack for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Minecraft.
You
Sorry. Well, first of all,
didn't have to think about it.
Minecraft has a lot of music, and if you say the rest of my life, since Minecraft is the biggest game, it will always update with more music. So, that's kind of an infinite source of music right there.
That's a smart answer, yeah.
And also, Minecraft music is just really good.
True. Do you have a favorite song in the soundtrack or any favorites in general?
Probably Aaron Shiroff's Watcher. I just like Aaron's music in general.
Nice.
Like he's like the guy who's making music for the current updates.
Yeah.
And also did the music for the Margin trailer.
Oh, that's really cool. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, like Sorry, we met each other through a mutual friend.
Do you have any thoughts in particular on Yume Nikki and its
Oh
fan
yes,
fans?
I have so much thoughts. I think I wrote like a whole essay for Nitro, like when Nitro Rad asked people like to think about your. Here,
I
let me
can
pull it
link
up
that in the
actually.
description too.
Let me pull it up actually. Aw, I should have prepared for a month for this. Nitro Red.
Also, I was featured in that video too for a split second because I
Oh,
replied to
nice.
that tweet too.
I think I still need to watch that video
Me too. It's a bit
in
long, but
my schedule.
there's a lot of good info in it.
Yeah, well, I need to watch entertainment. Oh, I need to watch, I need some kind of entertainment to entertain me when I'm wa work working. Working. Okay, here we go. Here's a whole essay. Jeez, that was long. All right. You want me to just read it out?
Or are you able to do a summary?
Okay, yeah, sure. Yes, I can definitely do a summary because we don't want to be here for the next 5 years.
I'll also link it in the description since you tweeted it.
Yeah. So, like I said, Yume Nikki is probably the first non-Flash game that I played because we were just talking about Flash. And I believe it's actually the game where I learned the word indie game is from, because I remember Googling it and landing on Wikipedia, and Wikipedia is like, oh, it's an indie game. I was like, what's that? That was around 2009. You would have been 4 years old. Wow.
Thanks.
So, and I know I was probably, yeah, I heard about Yume Nikki from the OCT community, which is a whole thing, the original character tournament. But I'll talk about it later. I don't, we could be here all day if we give it to OCTs. But I think I played it when I was like really stressed out over school. So like, it really made an impression on me. Just because, I think, gosh.
Wasn't it really different at the time too? Wasn't it a unique game at the time?
Yume Nikki?
Yeah.
I mean, it was the early 2000s, or early, it was made in the early 2000s, but at the time it was like, what, the late 2000s? I mean, the internet was full of weird little games. If anything, I feel like, yeah, I feel like, because back then all games were free. Like the idea of like selling your games was brand new, because Steam was only established in 2007, and it was
Oh.
right. So let's see. So yeah, there was a lot of weird little games on the internet at the time, mostly on Flash though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts about how Yume Nikki fan games have changed over the years?
Oh yeah. So I think. Okay, so I was actually gonna just start talking about fan games. So I think back then there was a like even back then there was always the desire to innovate, because like nobody wants to just make a clone of Yume Nikki. They all want to put their own style. But nowadays I think like there has been a focus on like just making it look good art-wise, like aesthetically. And like more atmospheric, because I think like Umetuki really changed the game, right? Yeah, with how big and fast it is, and I think it just I honestly think it looks way better than a lot of commercial pixel art games. And it's like a huge inspiration for me to like, get better at pixel art. I have to get good.
Me too. What are some recent fan games that you played?
Yume Nikki fan games. Oh gosh, I have not had time to play it for a bit. I did play Yume Tuki a few years ago, like a modded version that I just edited to like I would just go into the game and check out all thousands of maps. I decide which maps I like, and I would just like teleport, like I would just like break into RPG Maker and just make a teleport there. I was like, wow, I totally found my way here all by myself. And also added the player character into Gakuren because Gakuren is my favorite.
Nice. I just learned recently that you can go into other RPG Maker games and edit stuff. It's really
Oh
cool.
yeah. Yeah, like RPG Maker 2003 especially is like it's not even locked or anything. Everything is just free for the taking. I do
Yeah.
remember like some other like prolific devs in the community get their cut their teeth this way. Is that a word people say? Cut their teeth? Get their
I've never
bearings?
heard it, but it makes sense.
Yeah.
If it makes sense, that's what counts,
If
I
it makes
think.
sense, if the shoe fits.
If you could get to compose for any soundtrack, whether released or unreleased, what would you pick?
Oh gosh, like any soundtrack.
It doesn't have to be a game either.
Okay, well, it's people. Well, it's no surprise. I did write some like fan music for Castle of Nations a while back. Just because I like writing fan music.
Wait, sorry, what's the name of the game again?
It's not a game. It's an
Oh.
old web series, Castle of Nations. That's like was very well known back in the original character tournament days. Yeah, I've been about a year ago. I was just like, you know, I this thing makes me really nostalgic. I want to write some fan music for it, so I did. Like, I think I uploaded one of them to my YouTube.
Yeah, I've seen that now.
Yeah, I'm just like, oh, it's I just really like it. I think it's. I'm yeah, it's like it's I'm pretty sure it's like the favorite song, my favorite song that I've ever written to. It's
That's
just
awesome.
just very festive sounding.
Yeah. I'll listen to that after
Yeah.
our talk today. The art looks
Yeah.
really good, by the way.
Thank you. Let's see what other games. I can't think of too many games that I would Yeah. Because like I play games for their music, you know? So
Yeah,
the music
same.
is already perfect.
I remember you tweeted once. I think you said that you're kind of a fake gamer when it came to Silent Hill, especially because you loved the music more than the
Oh
game, I
yeah.
think.
Yeah, that's how I get into every single game. Even Minecraft and including Minecraft. Like I would like hear the soundtrack first. I was like, "Oh damn. That's some good music. I got to play it now." See what other games did I play this way?
Yeah, I really
Oh,
relate to
now you're putting me on the spot.
that.
Cave Story. Probably Yumanaki a little bit. Lots of Yumanaki fan games. Undertale probably. Well, you know, oh, with Undertale, it was more like one of my friends was a beta tester, and they were always like, whenever they tested the game, they would come to me like, you know, this was like what. 2014, early 2015, they were like, "This is the best game ever. I can't wait for you to play it." I was like, "I don't like bullet hell games." Like, oh gosh, I remember there was such a pressure back then for me to play Undertale because, like, my friend, like, there was a beta tester friend. There was also just a friend who really liked the demo, and I'm just like, "You're gonna laugh at me." I'm like, cause I remember pl playing the Undertale demo and I almost died to like one of the frogs or something, like one of the weakest enemies to the game. Cause I keep freaking out. I see bullets and I fucking lose it. Wait, is swearing okay?
Yeah, no worries.
I
I can
see,
always edit it out if I need
okay,
to.
I see bullets and I freaking lose it. I'm just like, I don't like this game very much. I mean, it got better. There was like a hand like an armor for handicaps that I eventually got, and I was like, "Wow, thank you, Undertale, for making this accessible." It
Actually,
was.
I never beat Undertale. But
I think I only did pacifist because the No Mercy run is way too hard. Do I look like some dude? I almost died to a frog.
that game's
Delta run's way
tricky.
harder, so like I'm just like, "Eh, I'm not playing it." I'll just watch my husband play it.
What
See.
do you think about the music from Undertale to Deltarune?
I think the it's a similar style of music, right? It's the same person. It's all very
Yeah.
what's the word? Electro swing? No, that's not quite. Not electro swing. Off is Electro Swing though. Oh yeah, hey,
Yeah.
speaking of another game that I play for the music.
That's a great game too.
Let's see. But yeah, it's very jazzy, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I
jazz
gotta
is
listen to
not
that
electro
soundtrack
swing.
again.
Oh, not off. I was talking about Undertale slash Deltarune. It's very
Oh.
jazzy, which is very like mysterious to me, you know, because I can't write music like that at all. I could the like Minecraft music I can understand. I'm just like, oh yes, this I see what you're going for. But you know, anything that's like jazz or electro swing, I just look at it like it's rocket science or quantum physics. I don't know.
I'm guessing you gravitate more towards more atmospheric music.
Yes, atmospheric, ambient, whatever Silent Hill is,
Yeah.
lo-fi.
I love the Silent Hill soundtrack too.
Oh yeah, it's like it's like an inspiration that I keep forgetting about just because like it's in the back of my mind so much. Like when people ask me what my inspirations for music, you know, I keep thinking about like you know Richard Evans or George Winston. Oh, George Winston. Oh my gosh. I'm so sad he died recently,
Oh.
like a couple years ago. He's like a really prolific musician. I think a lot of my p music style is probably from listening to his music so much. And then, yeah, there's George Winston, but those are the classics. But for video game soundtracks, it's probably Akira.
Yeah. Have you listened to the soundtrack for the remake yet?
The remake? Not yet.
I haven't either.
I've heard they added some new tracks. I heard the remake is actually really good, so I'm
Yeah.
excited to watch Gur play it finally.
It got really good reviews on Steam, I
Oh
saw.
yeah.
And that was surprising to me. But I'm glad it turned out good.
Yeah, like they can't believe they took out the pizza. This town is full of monsters. How could you sit there and eat pizza? They took out that
Oh.
line.
Oh.
They took out the iconic pizza line.
I wouldn't know because I actually haven't played Silent Hill.
Oh, really? Huh.
Yeah. Would you say that your creative process has changed a lot for game development stuff compared to working on Margin of the Strange and One Shot?
I define changed because like I mean it's definitely a change going from RPG maker to game maker, but like, are you talking about like the ideation process? So for Margin has way more systems than One Shot does. So like, you know, it's been kind of a like it's been quite a bit of work just to keep track of them all and see how things like mesh together, you know, because it is a way more complex game
I
compared to
guess
One Shot, which is basically just a walk from beginning to the end.
I actually don't know that much about game development, so I think any information you have would be a good learning experience for me. Or anyone else listening.
Goodness gracious. Oh, like, I'm gonna let you in on a secret. I actually don't know much about game development either. Like I so I like the kind of games that I like are games where you have like, you know, lots of freedom. Like, you know, Minecraft and Stardew Valley, which is, you know, the type of games that I'm really bad at making. You know what I'm good at making? I'm good at making games where you know, just go to point A, solve puzzle, then go to point B, solve puzzle. I'm not much of a programmer, so like, you know, it's hard for me to like, you know, gauge what exactly is and isn't possible, because I would like to design things on the conservative side, but then I go talk to a programmer and they're like, oh yeah, that's easy. What are you talking about? Why are you designing this around? Why are you designing on this like you're walking on broken glass or something? So, does that make sense?
A little. I think I
I'm
might have to
sorry.
go back and re-listen because with game development, it's confusing to me.
Yeah, sorry, I don't have that many specific examples on hand, but like I would basically when I come up with design solutions, I would just come up with the ways that makes it like involve as little programming as possible, but then the programmers look at it and be like, you know, you could involve more programming than this, right? So I think I design things like in a way that avoids programming, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so you try to get as far as you can until you need to do any kind of programming.
Yes, but that is not a common approach. I only do this because I'm stupid. Lovingly. Yeah, because I don't know if I have that many game design tips otherwise, because, I'm not a programmer. I feel like those are things you typically ask programmers.
Yeah. Do you have any design tips when it comes to original characters?
Oh, goodness gracious. I mean, just design a character that you don't mind drawing over and over and over and over and over again. I think I must have drawn Nico like over 1,000 times at this point. I made a decision very early on to like give them like oversized clothes because like it's like I don't think I want to draw hands for so much. And then for margin, I was like, oh no, this character has both hands and shoes. Because, for Nico, I kind of just gave them like a weird fused shoe with like boots. It's like a onesie. And, that's so easy to draw. Like, just like on promo art, I don't have to cut out their feet. But for Ling, it's just like, oh, you have tennis shoes and you have hands. Ah, oh, my worst nightmares.
Yeah, hands are really hard.
See what other character design tips. Yeah, make characters that you don't mind drawing. So like, it's like you can add lots of details to them, but like especially, I feel like for a video game that matters less. Like especially if you just like you do one sprite and you're done with it. But for comics, oh yeah, that rule absolutely applies. Like you don't want to make a character with a bunch of ornate clothes and then having to draw them for every panel for the next 10 or 20 years of your life. So
Can
I,
I?
yeah,
Oh,
sorry, go
sorry.
on.
I was just going to ask if you remember what the main inspirations were for Nico's design.
Okay, so Esper from Pokemon, because I got really into Pokemon that winter. I asked for a DS, like a 3DS for Christmas. That's like my first ever. Oh, my friend is in the skeleton cavern. Sorry, sorry, go on. So I asked for a DS that Christmas, and then for the sole purpose of playing Pokemon X. And I wanted to play Pokemon X because I really like Esper. I think Esper is like the cutest creature that's ever made. And then yeah, I really liked Esper, and I'm just like, I want to make a character that has like, that same wide-eyed 1,000-yard stare, but in a cute way. And then I think what other inspirations? The Little Prince probably, just because of their big scarf. And I definitely like the Little Prince is like, a big inspiration of the story itself. But Nico's character is inspired by like how the prince is. It's kind of like this precocious but also very innocent child that you're supposed to protect. Because that story made a big impact on me when I was like 6 years old. Because I was just like, oh, cool kid story. Ah, wait, it's sad. He's dying. No, that's sad. But I don't think I like really understood the gravity of that story until I was like a bit older. Because what really stood out to me in The Little Prince is the world building. Let's see what other inspirations, Nico. Oh, I think the cat hat was just because I. It was just because, and I think I gave them they originally didn't have whiskers, but I gave them whiskers because I drew in their hair on the pixel art and they kind of look like whiskers.
Yeah, I love the designs of your characters.
Oh, thank you. But yeah, like I like to make simple looking designs because I'm lazy. And it's just like, I don't want to be stuck drawing like a bunch of complex designs forever, right? I'd rather just make them pretty simple. Like, I think I like cartoons a lot, like not like just the more stylized designs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the gist of it. Sorry.
I think simple is good because I think it's more efficient, especially if you
Yeah.
are if you are making a game where you have to draw the character in a bunch of different sprites and stuff too.
Yeah, efficiency, exactly. That's the word. I think for a one shot, especially for Nico, I designed the character, like I designed a character from the sprite up because I want to make sure it reads better as a sprite first before, translating it to a bigger form. You know what I'm saying?
I think so. So you drew the sprite smaller at
Oh no.
first?
So I draw the characters as sprites first before
Yeah.
translating that sprite into like a more fully fledged character art.
Oh, yeah. I think that makes sense. Sprites are different from the actual.
Yeah, because you want the sprites to read, right?
Yeah. It kind of makes sense. As I said before, I'm not as familiar with the visual art side of things, but
You're more of music, right?
yeah, more music focused.
Nice. How long have you been playing me? Wait, no, this is not me interviewing you. This is you
No
interviewing me.
worries. I've been interviewed before on episodes, and it's always
Right.
funny when it happens.
Fun.
But yeah, I've been playing since I was 9, and
Oh.
I actually started out with the ukulele, and I didn't get too into that, but I had fun with it for a while, and
All
then
right.
I really wanted to play piano, so I got a small keyboard 1 year for Christmas. And
Oh.
then ever since then, I've been really into that. And then
Nice.
I also have been playing ukulele and guitar more the past few years.
Gosh, I can't play the guitar. My hands are way too small and pathetic.
Mine are pretty small too, I think.
I also don't have a lot of hand strength.
I think it gets better over time. Because when I started out, I couldn't play any bar chords. And after practicing them a lot and just really sucking at it for a long time, I got better at it.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
For yeah, because I've actually wanted to get like a guitar this year, like an electric one. I don't think I'll be able to play it myself, but my husband says he likes like he's played guitar before and he'd be willing to give it a shot. I mostly just want it for recording.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I think also with recording instruments too, it's different because you can play it and you can record in different takes. So you can mess up and then you can just edit it out.
That's very true. That's very true.
The secret of recording. Do you have any advice for someone who wants to create more unique atmospheres with music?
Oh, goodness gracious. Don't come to me for that. I don't know what I'm doing either. Gosh. I really don't.
No worries.
Unique atmospheres. I know for God, what did I do for one shot even? Like I wouldn't. Would you say one shot's music is unique in the atmosphere?
I think so.
Huh, that's interesting. I wonder why. Because I use the most vanilla FL Studio music instruments, but like people say that about Toby Fox's music too. They said that his music sound unique, but he just uses default instruments too. So
Yeah.
maybe it's just because people all avoid using the defaults, but the default instrument is what makes it end up sounding unique. I don't know. It's reverse
Yeah.
psychology.
Maybe l limitations breeds creativity.
Yeah, totally. I think that too. Like that's definitely a thing that the guy, the cave story guy does.
The games
And
look somewhat simple, I think.
See, what else was I talking about? Limitation breeds creativity. I think have yeah, you're right, because like having only like a month to work on one shot, such a short time span was probably gave us like the drive to actually finish the damn thing.
Would you recommend that people join game jams then?
Oh yes, especially if you want to like get into game development. I don't personally recommend game development as like a particularly stable career, but I think it's it makes for a good hobby at least, right?
Yeah, and you never know, it could turn into something.
Yeah, like I mean, I never wanted to go get into game devs. That, like I said, it's like I didn't know what indie games were until like I was in high school. It was not a life trajectory that I saw taking, but I got into game dev because, funnily enough, Yumaneki, right? There was like a Yumaneki community fighting game project, and I originally just wanted to join it to be an artist, but I realized that their team wasn't very organized. So I was like, I can organize things. So oh, that's another tip. Be good about organizing, because chances are there will be people like the person who organizes is a very valuable resource.
For sure. I think organization is a whole other skill too that you can learn over
Yes.
time.
Oh
Because
yeah. Why do you think I like Minecraft so much?
yeah,
Check out my cool room full of chests, all individually labeled.
you kind of made me want to play Minecraft again. I haven't played in a while.
It's very fun.
By the way, I don't know if you noticed, but I have a Madatsuki plush in the background.
I did, yeah, and Anina.
Yeah, Ina and Anodyne,
I know that. Oh,
too.
yeah, that's Anodyne too.
And I had both composers on the show.
Nice.
Yeah,
Yeah, Anodyne's like it's like a classic, but like, whatchamacallit. How did Anodyne 2 do, by the way?
I think it also did good. I mean,
It's nice. Yeah, I'm so happy for them. I've been following the devs for a while. I really
yeah.
like the soundtrack of Anodyne 1.
Yeah, I love the soundtrack. It's really good. And the game has really good atmosphere in general. Highly recommend it.
I think I played up until like maybe a third of the way or half of the way until it got too hard for me. I'm just like, this is hard. This is
I
hard.
still need to beat it too, but I love what I've seen.
It's like, this is so hard. Life's so hard for gamers.
Don't know why. I don't know if you've had this experience, but I've always struggled with finishing games.
Oh yeah. Like I like to finish games if possible, but it's I'm not very good at games.
Me too.
So I play games that you can never finish, like Minecraft. How on earth are you supposed to finish Minecraft exactly? You don't.
That's
I love
why
that.
I felt bad about this, but I mentioned to it to you that I
You never
actually,
finish one shot.
yeah, I never finished one shot.
That's hilarious. Okay, that means no spoilers.
Well, I know it happens because I was in high school when I played the game, and I thought this game is hard for me because I was also younger, and I mean I still suck at games, but especially back then. And I just looked up what happens for the rest of the story.
I mean, that's a valid way to play. Like one shot's kind of a it's not the it's kind of the game that you go from point A to point B, That's a good way. That's a valid way of experiencing one shot. But because it's what you would call it? Yeah, I think go for it. I watch how things get finished all the time. Like Deltarune, I just watch my husband, or I finish Omori by myself. Yeah, I finish
Oh
Omori
yeah,
myself.
me too.
It was easy enough.
Yeah.
Thank you RPGs for not having stupid time mechanics, because
I
Mother Dree is, oh man, I did not like Mother. Did not care for Mother Dree.
will say Omori was still hard at some parts, but I think it was easier than most other RPG Maker games I've played.
I think Omori would be hard if you played like the secret route, but I didn't. I just played the main one, and once you learn about like the, there was like a combo that you could do for like a lot of damage. So I just did
Yeah,
it for every round.
I think that's what I did too.
Right, like you have to get the girl mad, and then like when she's mad, she does extra damage with her special.
What can you not live without as an artist or composer?
Mike, so not live without, huh? Probably Macromedia Flash. My 20-year-old copy of Flash is probably older than you. Yeah, if I really like Flash's drawing tools. It's like, because most of my art that I do is from the line of art that I do it as vectors in Flash, because Flash's vector is so unique. Like, I don't think like modern vector programs even do the same thing anymore, but it just makes drawing so much faster. So I don't know what I'm gonna do if, if it stops working. Like, it's still backward compatible, so fortunately it works for now. I'll probably, like, get a hack Linux or something and just run it on a virtual machine or some insane workaround, but let's hope it doesn't come to that. It's just like a it's just such a good software. As for music, I really like the Nanotron, or not Nanotron, like, yeah, it's Nanotron. Nanotron's like a it's like a Mellotron synth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I gotta love it's among my favorite instruments, but I don't know if I actually used it in one shot yet or not, because I don't know if I had it yet during the development of one shot. Wait, no, I definitely had it.
Do you have a hardware version of it, or is it on FL Studio?
It's all FL Studio. Jeez, do you know how expensive an actual Mellotron would be?
I actually don't. Wait. I'm looking that up. My old piano teacher actually, I think, has one.
Oh my God, I'm so jealous.
Oh, yeah, these are really expensive.
Right?
It's so tiny too.
Oh, they don't really make them anymore, because, like, nowadays we just have synths, we could just keyboards, we could play whatever the damn sounds we want. But
Yeah.
it's more of a just a vintage collector's thing.
Yeah. It's really interesting too, because with hardware, I have one friend who has some hardware stuff, and he's been telling me recently he's been having a lot of problems with it, and he's been having to fix it a lot.
Aww.
And that's another thing with hardware too, is that you run into bugs a lot.
Right, yeah, that's true. Let's see what else. I'll probably always use FL Keys, the standard boring default FL Studio piano, because it's very easy to get started with. I do
If it
use a
works, it
lot of,
works.
yeah, I do use a lot of contact. Like recently, because the Margin Kickstarter let me afford better instruments, so I bought, and the Kickstarter happened at the exact same month that Kontakt made all of its sound libraries 50% off. I was like, holy shit,
Dang.
it's meant to be. So I bought a bunch of Kontakt's pianos. I think I also got something from Neuer, however you pronounce that.
Yeah.
And then yeah.
I think, do you also use Fruity LSD too?
OSD?
LSD?
I'm not sure what that is.
Oh, I don't know why. For some reason, I thought I heard that somewhere on in an interview.
Right.
'Cause that's another default FL Studio plugin that I think is
Probably a
pretty
newer
good.
one. Yeah, because for the longest time I've just been using FL Studio 8, which is like,
Oh.
the 20-year-old version of software. Something about me and using 20-year-old versions of softwares, because it's not, because I started out as like a broke student with not a lot of money, so I always used the cheap versions then. But nowadays it's not like I'm an adult with a job. It's not even about money anymore. It's just about me being stubborn and not wanting change.
If it works, it works.
If it works, it works. Why reinvent the wheel, right?
Are there any creative exercises you've done that help you when you get stuck in a rut?
For art or for music?
Either one.
Okay, so for music, like I said, if I get really stuck on a song, I would just get out my keyboard or find a piano and just play around on it for a while to figure out the rhythm. That always works for me. And then as for art, honestly, I can't tell you. Art blocks are the worst. I probably draw, I don't know, make funny little, silly little doodles.
Have you ever done a magma before with friends?
A mag Oh, like a draw pile type thing? Yeah,
Yeah.
magma. Yes, definitely. I've actually there's We used to do it a lot for in the Castle of Nations community. Castle of Nations, it's the old web series. It's really sad because it never really quite got off the ground, but the creator did a lot of animations for like original character tournaments, and that's what they're re most remembered by, and they are good.
I'll check out their work.
Yeah. Probably most well known for a Law of Talos. Not to be confused with the Talos Principle. That's a game.
What kind of marketing tricks do you think developers shouldn't learn about?
That's marketing tricks. Oh, good. Let's see. Well, I learn as I go, you know. I mostly just I have a person helping me out with the marketing of margin, and I just listen to everything they say. But I guess don't shadow drop your game, you know, like let people know about it early. But and it's also a good way for you to like put pressure on yourself so that you're actually motivated to finish the game. And then I think having a memorable character is important, of course. What else?
Speaking of marketing, I think everyone listening should wish. Wait, can you wish list Margin of the Strange yet?
Oh yeah, you can wish list it. It won't be done for a long time, but you can wish list it out now. Yeah, we have a
Yeah,
Steam page.
I think everyone listening should go do that.
Yeah.
If you could go back in time and tell yourself one thing, whether music related or art or whatever, what would it be?
How far back in time?
Anytime.
Oh gosh. I would probably tell myself to get more into Castle of Nations. I feel like it's a because that's the like my I do regret like you know back when the community was super active like I wasn't super into it like I really liked the art but you know I wasn't part of the fandom. And I'm just like, oh, nowadays I'm just like, oh, I missed out on all the fun. I probably would have been like even more brain rotted than I was now than I am now. But you know, that's the price you pay for. That's the price you pay for, I don't know, art. But it's like one of those things that live in the back of your mind. And then like you go back to it years later, and I was like, oh, that is cool. You know what I'm saying?
I think so. You wish you would have had more fun with that.
Yeah. I wonder if that's how people feel about like games that came out with like within recent memory, like I don't know, Celeste, Hollow Knight, Undertale. Wait, Undertale's like what, 10 years old at this point?
I think so, yeah.
Oh jeez. Oh, way to make me feel old.
Sorry.
Oh. I'm withering away. I'm withering away like the wither from Minecraft, which is a thing that I have not seen. I know.
If you think about it, technically I am too, because everyone's aging.
Everyone's aging. Everyone's old. Nobody's getting any younger. I remember being 19. I was first year of college. So what made you decide to get into podcasts?
So that's a good question. I think for me, in middle school and stuff, I was already listening to a lot of interviews from just musicians or creative people that I thought were really interesting. And I think I wanted to have a way to learn more from the people that I think are doing really cool stuff. Because I'm also a musician, and I also want to make games and make music and make art and stuff. So I think that's what inspired me to start it.
Why do you want to make games? Wait, sorry. I keep forgetting this is not a you interview.
All good.
I want to make games because you know, for the ultimate purpose of making my original characters real. But I got into making music because I wanted to make theme songs for my characters. I feel like it all circles back to OCs.
I think
It's a great
that's really
circle.
cool.
It's a great circle of life. Kind of moves us all.
I think for me, I want to get into game making games because I think a lot of games that have had really good stories are ones or ones that I really relate to have changed me in some way. And I think I want to be able to do that and tell my own story.
What's a game with a good story
I
example?
think Amori is definitely one.
Oh yeah, War is pretty good. I remember really like thinking like, wow, this ending sequence is really well done.
Yeah. And there's a game I played really recently. It's called Swollen to Bursting Until I'm Disappearing on Purpose.
Oh, sorry, what?
It's called Swollen to Bursting Until I'm Disappearing on Purpose.
Interesting.
It sounds really weird, and it is a bit weird at times, but it has a really nice charm to it, and I think the story is really good. It's also an RPG Maker game. And it's in this, I think it has It's in the style of Paper Mario, kind of. So it has 3D, it's kind of up top, and you walk around and stuff and collect effects. But it has a really good story. Sorry for rambling a bit.
No problem. No problem. See, let's see. Good stories. I like Outer Wilds. I like games where you like, it's so rare to see games that like give you a lot of freedom, but also has a really cohesive story at the same time. Like, because it's really hard to make. That's why Margin's taking so long, because like I kind of want, I want that kind of freedom, but also like I want the freedom to explore, but I also want to tell like a tight story. And it's really hard to consolidate it too. Ask people for examples, and they all just give me like sandbox games that have some lore. I'm just like, no, that is not what I want. Lore is not good enough for me.
Are there any games you're looking forward to?
What are some games that are coming out? I play like one game a year, right? So like it's hard to like get things hard to get thing to get the keep track of like what all is coming out and what's not. I know for I think like I've been mostly just playing like long form games like Sky Children, because that game's always constantly updating.
Nice.
And then probably Minecraft update. It would be nice for them to add more quality of life features.
Many updates are there for Minecraft now, by the way?
Like a bajillion. I don't know. I haven't been keep counting. I've only started playing relatively recently.
I think the last update I played was 1.17 or something.
Yeah, I don't know the numbers. I think the most recent one they added like white oak trees, but I think our server hasn't updated to that point yet.
It's always fun to start servers with your friends, but in my experience, whenever I've started servers with friends, and we never do anything with it after a while.
Yeah, right now I'm just like on a public server with a bunch of other random people, and like it's fun.
Nice.
Like they're like they have some good rules, like no griefing, no breaking other people's shit.
Yeah, the standard.
So we like to see that.
That's good. I think for me, there's a game I'm excited for coming out early next year. And it's called After Love EP. And I think I'm really looking forward to it because it has a really cool art style. And
Ooh.
it's also a rhythm game. And I played the demo of it, and the music's pretty good. It's kind of an anime kind of game, but.
Oh yeah, my friend's like is also making like a rhythm anime style game. It's really interesting. It's called Unbeatable.
Is it out online yet?
It's still in development. I think it'll take them under another year. They had a pretty successful Kickstarter ca funding campaign.
Oh, I've seen this before.
Oh
Yeah.
yeah, it's really nice, isn't it?
Yeah, the art looks really good too. I'll put this on my wish list.
And then let's see. Oh gosh. Let's see, when you asked me what I'm looking forward to, I was like, I'm looking forward to working on my game. That's my entire life is just work, right? I'm looking forward to the Black Friday sale at my favorite candle store. Like other than the whole game dev thing, I feel like I have the soul of like someone's grandma from the Midwest. It's like I like tea and candles and stamps.
I think I relate to that a bit because I definitely don't play as many games as I used to. Because I'm personally focused a lot on music.
Yeah. Well, it's good to focus on your hobbies.
Yeah, games can always come later too.
Exactly, like play games to relax.
Yeah. What's a game that, oh, there's a game I play sometimes to relax. Not recently, but a while ago, I would play a game called Power Wash Simulator.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I still need to play that game. It sounds it
It
looks so much fun.
is. They have a SpongeBob DLC too.
Oh my gosh, that's
And I have
hilarious.
it. Is there anything you can tell us about Margin of the Strange that you haven't talked about?
Yeah, sure. So what's some things that I have not talked about? So it's okay. So it's based on like an old story that I had that I has its roots traced back many, many years ago. It's probably 20 years old at this point. And then the main character is I like the main character a lot. I think people will like him too. He has a very funny personality. And then see what else? Right, the story's old, but I think the current iteration of the story, I'm kind of like making it up as I go, partially just because like, translating a webcomic or a serialized format into a game that someone could actually feasibly finish within one setting or several settings is very different because like, the pacing of a comic, you kind of want to like stretch out over the course of years, right? So like it's really hard to convey that the same scale of passage of time of the passage of time within like one game. So like the story has to go through like some very major pacing changes to just to make it adapt better as a game. And I think it's really cool to like, have different the whatchamacallit, how things translate between mediums. And like originally Mar the story of Margin takes place over like very long time skips because how an anime and they love their time skips, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So, but now I can't, I can't do that anymore. At least like not within a single game. So what I have to do now is just like consolidate everything down into like just a few weeks, which is very hard to do. But I think it's worth it. I think it makes for. I think it. It's like you said, right? Limitation breeds creativity. And like I think like this just the process of adaptation is a form of limitation.
Yeah, I think that was really well said.
And let's see, what else do I have? Like I have to make some of the change some of the characters' ages. Well, I think the characters' ages have already been like flopping around in my head anyway, because I made those characters when I was like, what, 12, 13 years old. And I'm just like, I don't know about these characters still being 12 or 13 years old when they're supposed to be, the main characters.
Is there anything you can tell us about the music for the game?
Music. Oh, yeah. I'm really excited to make the music for the game because now that I have like better tools for writing music. And at the same time, it's like, right? People said that One Shot has a unique atmosphere because I've been using nothing but shitty, really, for lack of term, shitty music instruments. But like the default instruments, but I think for margin, I mean, if I want to at all, I guess I'll always have that option. But I'm excited to try out all my new instruments and techniques. You can hear some of it just from like, not the trailer theme itself, because I didn't write the trailer theme, but you know, the teaser. And I wrote that song really quickly because like I didn't even know I needed one until like a week before. And I was actually really proud of that, how quickly I got it to work. And I think I'll be able to like write more ambient music from now on, more with fuller, better sound. Because I, unlike me writing one shot who know nothing about mixing, I now know about two things about mixing, which is more than none. So yeah, I hope my audio mixing could be leveled up at least. I'm just like, what? The EQ, that's a thing people do? Oh my God, everything is wonderful. I think for like a freelance project that I've been working on, like I'm just like, this sounds terrible. What do I do? And then like the person the my turn in person is like, oh, that's an easy fix. It's just gotta, you know, cut the frequency in this range and this range. And so I'm just like, okay, I'll do that. Holy crap, it sounds completely different now. Thank you so much.
Yeah, EQ does a lot. And I think another important thing actually with volume, I think, I mean, mixing. With mixing, I think it's mostly just about volume and spacing.
Right.
I don't know if you
Space.
agree with that.
Spacing, huh? What's spacing in the context of mixing?
With spacing, I think I mean, so you know how the song is, you have dynamics and stuff?
Sort of.
So I think when it comes to mixing, I think having certain instruments spaced out. So, for example, if you have a song with, this is in my opinion at least, when I mix songs that have drums, for example, and strings and synths, I love to put the strings in the back, so that way it gives the drums and the synths more room to breathe. But that's my personal opinion.
That makes sense. Yeah, I could never get like my basses sound low enough or rich enough. Like that's like, and I asked my husband, and he's like, "It sounds like you need better drums." I'm like, "What better drums? I bought so many drums on sale. I think I have some really good drums. I just suck at using them."
It takes a lot of practice too, for sure.
I mean, those things do. Or more importantly, it takes a lot of organizing and cataloging to make sure you could always find the instruments that you want. I was like legit thinking about like doing a stream where I just like organize all my instruments into Excel spreadsheets. I think that would be very funny.
That would be funny. I just have one sample folder with all my samples, and then I have all my VSTs in one folder.
I recently like started a more robust sample folder system because beforehand it was a little scattered, and then like when I opened the files up years later, they can't find the directories anymore. It's like, ah, I lost this. I essentially lost this file, and everything is awful.
Have you ever heard of the Para method?
The what method?
Para?
Nope.
It's an organization method, and I actually use it a lot, and it's really helpful.
I'm interested. Tell me more.
The way I organize my desktop, I only have four folders on the main desktop. And I have it to where it's projects, areas, resources, and archives. And basically, I put all my projects in the projects folder. Then areas, I think, is all the areas that's always going to be there, like work or school or things that you don't necessarily want to do, but you have to. And then resources are resources, and then archives are stuff that you've done or
Oh,
incomplete.
that's smart. I think it's kind of like the KonMari method. When you're like organizing files, you organize like, you know, things like it's like all you need is three folders, one for like urgent matters, one for like, you know, things archiving like your ID or whatever. And
I haven't heard of that one before either. That sounds interesting.
See, I would do something like that, but I feel like having everything be buried in too deep of layers, just that's an extra step, you know.
Yeah.
And sometimes, yeah,
Yeah,
it's not always for everyone.
that's true.
If it works for you, then yay.
Yeah, I think this method is simple enough for me because it's four folders, and then
Right.
I just.
Yeah, I think I have a whole folder just for margin. Yeah, I have like a folder on my desktop for margin and a folder on Dropbox for margin. And the Dropbox folder is like it's stuff that I'm gonna share with other people, but that's our kind of our main repository. And the desktop folder is mostly working files for me. That's the night margin work zone. So one of the folders is vastly more organized than the other.
And digital organization is a lot different from other,
Physical. Oh yeah.
yeah. For example, you can't see my desk, but I should probably organize it a bit.
You want to? You strongly organized it?
No, I should probably organize it.
Yeah. I actually went through like a big house clean recently where I just like organize everything, because I don't know if you have like the Daiso's in your area, but it's like a Japanese dollar store.
Wait, what is it?
Daiso's a Japanese dollar store.
I don't know actually. I'm in Hawaii and there is a bit of Asian culture here.
Oh, then you probably would have some. Yeah. Yeah,
Yeah, that I'm looking it up and there is some.
Oh, Daiso's are awesome. Like they have very, very affordable organizers for their price and quality.
Nice.
I would definitely recommend. I really like their little lidded ones. And they all come in nice color, but nice colors too, depending on what colors that you like. Like they have like gray and white and even pink.
Have you had any good food recently?
Food recently. I've been baking cookies a lot. I've one of my friends is just had surgery, and they had to live in my house for like a week or so, because their doctor lives in my city. Otherwise they'd have to like drive all the way over like th 2 hours every time they see their doctor. And then yeah, so I was like, oh boy, I guess I'm gonna try out this cookie recipe that I learned from my friend not that long ago, about like a couple months ago. And then yeah, I've been making nonstop cookies. These are the best damn cookies I've ever made. Greatly helped by the fact that I have a stand mixer now. And you need like a stand mixers for like, mixing the butter and the sugar for the right texture. And I've also like made a big beef stew. I made a really good chicken soup that,
That sounds
that's
good.
intended for people who are going to surgery.
Yeah.
And it was like I used a whole jar of dried mushrooms on it.
Sounds good.
I cook a lot.
Do you have any advice for cooking? Because I don't really do it that
Get a
much.
sharp knife. Get a really sharp knife. Get the sharpest knife that you can manage to get your grubby little hands on. I recommend like it's like the Wusthof Pro line, because like it's a bit pricey, but like it's lasted me years. And use lots of onions and garlic. Just buy garlic in bulk. They do make like peeled garlic that you can buy in bulk in either Costco or Asian stores. I would m normally just get like a big 5 pound bag of like peeled garlic cloves and just keep them in my freezer. Save any glass jars that you have, like spaghetti sauce jars, for example, because they're good for holding just about anything. What else we talking about? Oh, you're right. I like to compare cooking to like drawing sometimes, to art, just because like everyone cooks a little differently,
Yeah.
And there's obviously a right way to cook and a wrong way to cook, right? Like you don't want to burn your food or or undercook your food, but you want to get the basics right. But other than that, the world is your oyster, right? You can like spice it however you want or cook it however you want. So I think like cooking is like the thing that I would compare to art the most. It's subjective, and it's just yeah, and you have a lot of fun doing it, and it's food for the soul, right? It's like cooking is like
Yeah.
food for your body, but like creative project is like you kind of you need it to be
Yeah,
spiritually well.
I get that.
Like creating things is like I think it's like a fundamental human activity.
And it lets you express yourself in different ways. I think that's another thing we were talking earlier about why I wanted to make games. I think it is also another way that I want to be able to express myself.
It's creativity reminds us that we are human.
Yeah. Programming is really hard
Oh, programming is hard. Oh, don't even get me started.
though.
I think the closest I ever got to programming is just like, doing like very, very standard RPG Maker, getting characters to talk, getting cutscenes set up, etc. But to a real programmer, that's like paint by numbers. That's what paint by numbers look to artists, or well, what's the equivalent of that for music? Okay, so I used to have a keyboard that teaches you how to like play like the random a bunch of random songs like the Titanic's theme, and then like the keys would light up with like an LED when
Oh,
you're
and it'll show
supposed to
you how to
press the
play.
key. Yeah.
Oh.
And I had like about 100 songs on the keyboard.
Yeah,
And it comes with like three different difficulty mode too. Like there's like the easiest difficulty just gives you the main melody, but there's also like the bass.
and the chords.
The chords, yeah.
Is there anything else people can look forward to for Margin of the Strange that you can talk about?
Oh yeah, so we're working very hard to get like our first demo out. I don't want to say when yet, just because we still don't know if we're actually gonna make the deadline we set for ourselves. And then, gosh, I feel like it's the type of game that like you need a lot of story and context for, and which is really hard to make in a demo form. Like we also struggle with that a lot when doing one shot, just because like. It's the beginning of the game is really slow, so like we ended up just dropping people in the middle of the city, and we'd be like, good enough.
I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, thank you.
I'm sure a lot of other people are too.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to making more progress on it because, geez, Louise.
Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for today's interview, unless there's anything else you want to bring up.
No problem. Yeah, thank you for interviewing me. I had
Yeah.
lots of fun. I had lots of fun, like just talking and chilling. It's
Me
a
too.
nice atmosphere. Oh, right. I had a couple more questions. Right, so you said this was for your YouTube channel.
Yeah, for YouTube, Spotify, and basically everywhere.
Nice, nice. That's fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good luck.
Also, before the episode ends, I wanted to let everyone know that you can find Night Margin's work everywhere, basically on Twitter, are you on Tumblr and DeviantArt?
Yes, I'm on Tumblr, DeviantArt. I don't really use DeviantArt now much nowadays. Like, I pretty much post my art like twice a year and then leave. Like, th that place is now a wasteland. It's t o completely taken over by like weird AI stuff.
Oh yeah,
They
that
kind of
sucks.
shot themselves in the foot with that one.
Yeah. And you can listen to Night Marge's music everywhere else too, on
Yeah,
Spotify, YouTube, whatnot.
Bandcamp.
Yeah, Bandcamp. And yeah, thanks everyone for listening,
Thank
and
you for coming.
I'll see you guys next time.
See you
Bye.
back. See you guys. Bye.
We love you.